Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, April the 14th, 2023, 20 minutes past the hour, and we have got a special treat for you tonight. It is an interview by the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, that you are not going to want to miss. Stay next to your listening device for the next 45 minutes. And without further ado, here's the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Thank you so much, Scott. And it is a Friday, and we are here with Mr. Orlando Carter, who is here to tell us about some miscalculations going on with some of our biggest banking institutions, in which he was pretty much institutionalized for something he didn't commit. Okay, so you're in for a real treat. Orlando, thank you for joining us here on Friday Night Live, WWGH 107.1. I just want you to start out the gate with telling us what this whole thing is all about with you and how banking institutions falsely accused you of so many things.
Thank you, Ted, for allowing me to come in this evening. It's good to meet you and to all the listeners. This is a situation in which I have been falsely accused of originating two loans with a bank, specifically PNC Bank. And it's all started when PNC years ago sent documents, fake bank documents, to the U.S. Attorney's Office, alleging that my business, CBST Acquisition, had originated loans with the bank. To this day, the bank has never sued me, has never sued my business, and to this day, it has never produced one single document to show that these loans were originated.
What kind of loans were we talking about?
We're talking about, I don't know.
Oh.
Because I've never seen the paperwork.
Okay.
But allegedly what they told the U.S. Attorney's Office, which the U.S. Attorney's Office never sought to certify bank records. It simply took two executives from PNC Bank. It took their word. They never, ever sought independent records from the bank. And how do I know this? Because the United States Treasury Department opened an investigation into this matter and have now concluded that the loans never existed. Yet, the U.S. Attorney's Office is refusing to meet with me. Also, the bank has filed fake bank documents in a federal court. And every time we go to challenge this matter in the federal court, the bank, rather than showing the records that show the loan, they show up with tons and tons of attorneys to fight this matter in court and has influenced the federal court to sanction me and my business for simply asking for records.
Wow. We're going to open up the phone lines in a little while for many of you people to be in that situation. What would you do, or how would you feel, or what's going to happen, you know, and all that. I personally, from what I understand, you had bidded on something with your business, and they were supposed to have given you X amount of millions of dollars, and still cannot prove nothing. And that has to be a terrible, terrible blow to your everything, blow to your self-esteem, a blow to everything, to just be sunk down in the... I don't know. I would freak the hell out. Yeah.
Well, we've had those moments.
Yeah.
When you know the truth, you don't waver.
Right.
When you know for sure that the bank officials, prosecutors, even my company's auditing, Clark Schaefer and Hackett is the auditing company for my company.
Yeah.
None of them have records to show this. Yet, they all walked into a federal court and said this under oath without any records.
And you you went to jail for
it? I went to jail.
Right.
I've been fighting this case since 2008. I am determined to get to the truth. The public needs to know the truth. And the truth is, my business never had these loans that the bank continued to allege. The U.S. Attorney's Office, I think, and I know for a fact, is aware that these documents that they received from the bank were fake.
Yeah.
How do I know that? In 2018, a group of pastors, ministers out of Cincinnati, had gotten their hands on the United States Treasury Department's finding. And to be clear, the Treasury Department is the federal regulator for the bank. It has authority over the bank. They opened the investigation, they being the U.S. Treasury Department. They opened two investigations, not one. But two, because when they came back the first time, I'm sitting in a prison, and I see this, and I say, hey, wait a minute, we should at least have some records somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, the Treasury Department came back and said, Mr. Carter, there are no records showing this debt. The bank has told us this. I said, well, the bank has told the United States Attorney's Office something different. So I said, go back and open another investigation to be sure. And the Treasury Department did that. Under two federal banking investigation case numbers, they concluded that these loans that I was sitting in prison for never existed.
Now, are you somewhat liable for any of these proposed loans?
This is the funny thing about it, Ted.
Okay.
Right. No. The bank, PNC Bank, to this date has never sued me nor my company for these loans. It simply told the U.S. Attorney's Office that the loans existed.
Yeah.
And further investigation into this matter, I now have discovered FBI documents where certain bank executives told the FBI that they created unusual documents.
Unusual. Wow.
What does that mean? Unusual.
Unusual, yes.
They even told the FBI that the documents that were given to the U.S. Attorney's Office was not adequate to represent a debt. Yet the U.S. Attorney's Office is saying that these loans are real.
Well, you know, I'd hate to go through any of this just to get right to the point to say, is it a racial thing that's popping off? That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, before we get into that racial thing, I do want to go back and answer your question. In 2018, these ministers, having received the information from the Treasury Department, demanded a meeting with the United States Attorney's Office. This is while I was sitting in prison. They take these records, the finding by the Treasury Department, to the U.S. Attorney. They inform me that immediately upon walking into the room, the U.S. Attorney said, if Mr. Carter would plea, we will allow him to come home.
What?
Now, granted, I had already been sitting in prison for 8 years.
8 years.
If I was going to plea, I would have did that 8 years earlier, trust me.
Yeah.
They came at me with several plea deals, one including probation. They wanted me to plea to anything. But when you know what you know, when you know you're right, there comes a time in your life you got to stand up. And that's where I am.
Took it to the box.
I took it. And they brought two executives from PNC Bank into the courtroom. Put them under oath without records.
No paperwork.
No paperwork whatsoever. I want all your listeners to go out there and ask PNC Bank, say, we want the same loan you gave Mr. Orlando Carter without paperwork and see what they say.
Yeah,
they walked into this courtroom and testified under oath that these loans were real. Wow. I was convicted based on that testimony.
What about the judge and all of that?
That's a whole different subject.
Okay.
I still got to go back before the judge, so I want to be careful. But I believe the judge, without any doubt, has been deceived. There's no doubt about it. The court has been deceived. It's been lied to. The only problem I have with the judge is that they never requested for anyone, not the U.S. attorney, not PNC Bank, not PNC Bank attorneys. To this date, the judge has never asked for PNC Bank to provide certified records related to my business to show this loan.
My God.
And without that, you can walk into court and say anything.
Yeah, without a doubt.
You know, the other thing, too, I was thinking about when your earlier question is, what would happen if you miss your car payment? And
they'd be deducting all kind of things.
They would come they would come and pick up that car, wouldn't they?
They sure would, yeah.
If you had a mortgage with PNC Bank and you miss your mortgage payment, what are they doing?
Take the house.
They're coming to get that.
Yeah.
PNC Bank has told a federal court that my business had two loans, one for $4 million and one for $8.8 million. To this day, the bank has never, ever filed any paperwork to try to recoup those loans. Why? Because it was a lie then, and it's a lie now.
Yeah, and you did all that time. That's for the
right. What they thought is that I was going to go in and be quiet and plea out and come out. Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm better. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but I'm thankful for the opportunity of going to prison, because it really opened my eyes to the system, to the wrongdoing. And for any politicians that's listening out there tonight, we need to get together and correct some procedural issues that block innocent people based on the laws that you have created from being able to file in the court.
Do you believe you're an isolated case? Or
no.
Have you ever talked to anyone that's been in a similar?
I wouldn't say that. Everybody's situation is very different and very unique. But what I can tell you that I walked out of prison and having seen documents from other inmates and prisoners that have families just like I do, that they need to be home to those families.
Wrongly convicted.
Prosecutors are aware of this, and the prosecutors hide behind the procedural barriers that have been created by our politicians. Those laws need to be changed so that an innocent man can get back before the judge and plead his case. There are procedural matters, and that's why I say I'm thankful. I'm a my background is an engineer.
Yeah,
I have an MBA from Duke University.
Okay.
I was probably one of the most naive or blind people to our system. I've never been in trouble. Never. I hadn't had a speeding ticket since I was 16 years old. But I've never been in trouble, never had any of that.
Yeah.
And the first time I was falsely accused, they shipped me away for 15 years. Over two loans, actually one loan. It was in prison that I realized that PNC Bank had told the U.S. Attorney's Office there was another loan. That never came up in my trial.
Wow.
I don't know where they are saying this. I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
My business never, ever received loan proceeds from PNC Bank in these amounts.
They've gave that money to somebody else.
There needs to be an investigation.
Yeah.
And I'm calling on the politicians, the prosecutor. There needs to be an investigation as to where that money went somewhere. It did not come to my company.
Mary Ellen Withrow, are you listening? That would be something. She was the Secretary of Treasury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would love to talk to her.
And she's a very dear family friend of this radio station. She signed a lot of money. Probably signed your money. But yeah, she'd be somebody to solicit some political backing. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, this story is now reaching out in the public.
Yeah, yeah.
Just on yesterday, we had a Zoom meeting conference with several community leaders who are expressing concerns. You mentioned earlier about whether or not this is racial discrimination.
Yeah.
I guess the way to answer that is PNC Bank making the same claim against a white-owned company? That's for PNC the answer. I would say no.
Yeah.
Is Clark Schaefer Hackett, my company's independent auditor, is it making the same claim against a white-owned company? Well, according to the leaders yesterday on that call, they all believe this is now racially discrimination against not just me, but the entire black community.
Yeah. I'm sure it's happened along the way in some of our black businesses along the way. The lending process, or as you say, the procedural situations, I feel that maybe some things have...
Okay. I wasn't aware of my volume. Scotty, I know this is not your time on the air, but I know that your interest level is there. Would you like to ask a question or two just to open up the interest?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very interesting because when people hear racial, I think they have a hard time delving into that. Why are you sure that this is racial besides the fact that it didn't happen to somebody who was white?
Well, thank you for asking that. Sitting in prison, I discovered documents where another PNC Bank executive told the FBI that they made the loan to my business because I was black. They themselves raised the racial issue. And I will quote that language. It was, "We made the loan to Carter for minority issues." This is before the trial. Okay? They're making these statements to the FBI before the trial. Then they walk into the courtroom under oath and state, "We didn't even know who Carter was at the time we made the transactions."
For people who say, if you had taken the plea deal, you could have been on the outside doing something, speaking at that moment, what do you say to that group of people?
I understand why certain people plea, and everybody that's going before the judge, they have that right to make that decision for themselves. One of the things I knew for a fact, that I was being prosecuted based on a fabrication. I knew it for a fact. I never wavered. And so when they came at me with a plea of 7 years, they dropped it to a plea of 3 years, and on the eve of the trial, they said if Carter would plead anything, we would recommend probation. These are the prosecutors. So for those people that plea, I understand it. But because I did not plea, unlike people that plea, I didn't give up any rights. I still have all the rights to argue this, because once you plea in a federal case, trying to get that overturned is nearly impossible. And that's another thing in terms of the laws that need to be changed. If new evidence come out in the future that shows that this never happened, then that individual should have a right to live a free life without all the collateral sanctions and things that's associated with having been convicted. They should be able to correct that.
Do you look back at any point in this and have a regret? Is there a biggest regret?
No.
None at all?
None. I'm thankful today that my family's still together. They knew. The only thing if I had to regret is missing my son's Little League soccer game, missing family events. But as far as taking on this system, I have no regrets. And someone asked me the other day, why do you think this happened to me? I says, well, because I was prepared for it. I was chosen for it. And I went inside of the prison and saw people there that unfortunately didn't have the education that I have to fight. It was through that education that I was able to reach out to the Department of Treasury and begin to file complaints. I've written letters to say I've been falsely accused. And there's a reason that the U.S. Attorney's Office will not meet with me. Now think about this. They had no problem knocking on my door when they thought I had did something wrong. Now that I'm home, I'm asking them for a meeting, and guess what? They're running. They will not meet with me because they know for a fact they would have to admit that they wrongfully locked up a man based on fake bank documents. I challenged the U.S. attorney. I challenged the chairman of PNC Bank to produce records that shows that these loans existed with my business. The funny thing, you know what's going on? The U.S. Attorney's Office is now saying, even though I'm still fighting my case, they've shredded the records.
I was going to say, there's a shredding procedure happened somewhere along the line. It also sounds like to me that PNC was trying to do a quota-type loan. You know, we got to loan so many black people this, we got to loan so many, you know, those kind of things, affirmative action type thing. And so, man, just to shred papers on an existing loan that doesn't exist, that never existed. PNC, I'm not doing any banking with you, that's for damn sure. But, you know, Fifth Third or anybody else. Scotty, those are great questions, and I appreciate you stepping in. How about you there, Sean? Can you think of any?
Well, Sean and I were talking here a few minutes ago about UTIG, because you've talked about your incarcerations over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you ever feel that those were racially motivated in any way? And when you hear this story, does it make you reflect back on those?
No, I knew I was taking, I did my crime, it was time to do the time. I never cried any of the racial tickets, but for the store itself, I knew Lazarus. Everybody knows Lazarus. I stole from Lazarus, and it was a white guy that did steal something. They let him go. Now, that was the only time I felt like, okay, I'm a biracial type person. They let put me in jail and let him go. So that was the only, Lazarus was one of the stores that pulled the race card. Orlando, your situation definitely needs the attentions of some political leaders, some federal people involved in this. And I'm going to do everything I can, and I certainly appreciate WWGH and their listening family for, you know, bringing this to light, so to speak.
No, absolutely. We have fought this in the federal courts, PNC Bank, rather than simply producing records.
Yeah.
They lawyered up. They have hired attorneys. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're just litigating,
yeah.
And you know, without any knowledge, somehow or another, they've won the influence of the court. People have said that people have been paid off. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that I'm being blocked.
Yes, yes.
By the U.S. Attorney's Office as well as the court. And so this matter now has moved into the public domain, specifically with community leaders.
Yeah.
As well as now we are asking for our politicians to join.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you overall. We want to drum up the support of the community as well as some political leaders, clergy members as well, you know. We need some help in this matter because if it happened to you, it could happen to someone else down the line if you haven't met anybody under those circumstances. And I'd hate to say that it was all racially motivated, but when you mentioned to me that PNC has admitted we gave him the loan, this fictitious loan of $12 million or more, because he was black, you know, we got to make a quota, you know, shred the documents as they appear. And so, man, you're a better man than me. Me. Yeah. I'd be
to that point, I am. We'll be meeting tomorrow with some community leaders. And one of the things we will be discussing is how to involve Senator Sherrod Brown.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting over the Banking Commission. We want him to open an investigation into PNC Bank to see if the bank has lied to the federal court regarding these loans. I want him to step in and decide who's lying. Is it the Department of Treasury or is it the Department of Justice?
Well, let's go to
because they've got different positions. Secondly, to your point, we're going to be calling on Governor Mike DeWine to halt the business of PNC Bank in the state of Ohio. We're going to be calling on Governor DeWine to halt the ability of Clark Schaefer and Hackett to do audits for companies in the state of Ohio because they're lying and they're injuring the community. And we're asking our governor to come out and speak to this matter to the extent he can or people on his team. I'm asking for all the state senators to come out and speak to this matter because people in your communities, your constituents could be the next person that this could happen to.
Exactly. Yeah,
and we need to get ahead of it. It's happening. They think that they can continue to spend their $400 billion worth in assets, PNC Bank, yeah, and that's going to stop me and shut me up. But I'm familiar with that story of David and Goliath.
There you go. Yeah.
And we all know what happened there. Well, we're prepared,
yeah,
and every day the community is becoming more and more educated. People are hearing the story, and you know, earlier this week when I shared it with someone, they says, "Wow, we cannot believe our leaders are allowing this to happen. We're going to get a change here, one way or the other."
Just one,
right?
All it takes is one to step up and listen to this plight and be able to address it in the form of which it was fabricated, you know. Take an approach, a strong approach at the banking institutions. Everybody wants to, you know, borrow money and this, that, and the other. Look what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, just think about what's going on in the banking industry right now.
Oh, man.
You know, taxpayers are having to foot the bill for certain banks, yeah, who were doing scrupulous things.
Yeah.
Well, how soon is it going to be before we're footing the bill for PNC Bank for creating fake loans,
yeah,
to boost up their assets? We need to get ahead of this matter. I challenged PNC Bank's chairman, oh, by the way, who wrote me while I was in prison.
What do you say?
We don't have any knowledge of these loans you're talking about. I shared all this information with the U.S. Attorney's Office. They will not return my call. My attorneys have written the U.S. Attorney's Office. They will not even write him back. This is a shame.
Yeah.
But
a sham and a shame. That's what it is, a sham and a shame. You know, I'm not one to speak on bank policies or any of those bureaucratic things that goes on in the banking industry, Wall Street, and all kind of things. But I will say this, that I'm sure that those kind of fraudulent entries are made and have been made along the way. I would like to not think that some of these banking people, loan officers or whomever, all the way up to the top, have given friends, of theirs some monies that were earmarked to go to certain businesses and so forth. Shred the documents. That's all you have to do. We have no proof of it. You know, let them go. You know, or I'd hate to think that an equal opportunity situation existed. You know, he's black. He's going to run out of money. He's not going to get the representation that's needed to keep this damn thing going. We'll litigate. He's going to be broke next month. Don't worry about it. You know, they're going to.
Well, I would like to speak to not how this is not only impacting me, but how it's impacting our community.
Yeah.
Many of us are familiar with the recent announcement by Intel that is wanting to invest billions of dollars in this region.
Yeah.
We have tried to reach Intel.
Uh-huh.
They are interested in our technologies. I'm an engineer with knowledge in fiber optics, okay, solutions, equipments, have designed this, for years.
Yeah.
And so semiconductors, technologies, and things of that sort is somewhat second nature to me.
Yeah.
And I see this as an opportunity because they're right in our back door. We reached out to them and through the business associations here that are trying to create the partnerships with Intel. I want to be very clear, we're working through these partnerships to get to Intel. These partnerships are saying, we cannot allow you to move forward with your business until you resolve this matter with PNC Bank, until you resolve this matter with your auditing company. What is that doing? We are prepared to create jobs.
Yeah.
I just met with a nonprofit the other day who's asking us to come in and begin to train people in the community on these technologies. We're trying to lift up our community, but yet you have companies out there and banks like PNC that's pushing us down.
Outsourcing and all of those.
Yeah. So we cannot even help our community until this issue is resolved. And therefore, I'm asking Senator Sherrod Brown to put PNC Bank before his office and demand that they either stop their false claim against this business or produce records showing the loan.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Provide the proof that you have against this man and his business, you know, and let's move forward, you know. I don't know if they'd expunge that off or whatever, but they need to just throw the towel in. Give us the proof, is what he's asking. Sherrod Brown, please, hear our plight. Mary Ellen Withrow, we love you. Maybe you can drum up some support from us for us as well, for this man. I understand you did an interview with Forbes magazine. Tell me about that.
Yes, thank you. Forbes has a great interest in this story. When I came home from prison, they reached out. We shared the information with them. They found the story very intriguing. And what they stated was essentially, did I go to prison over a loan that never existed? Yeah. Forbes reached out to PNC Bank. They reached out to Clark Schaefer. Nobody would respond. Nobody would respond. So they did an article, and they're still interested in this because obviously they are in the financial sector and they follow these things. But they're very interested in wanting to know, wanting PNC Bank to answer this.
Yeah.
You know, they won't answer.
Somebody in Wall Street's pulling some plugs.
To that point, we did reach out to one politician, Congresswoman Joyce Beatty's office.
Okay.
They have opened a congressional inquiry. They have written PNC Bank for the information.
Yeah.
PNC responded without any records showing the loan. We're waiting at this point for Congresswoman Joyce Beatty's office to issue its finding. So there's been a congressional...
Mind
but
you, Mr. Carter has done some time behind all this bullshit. Excuse me. Okay, beep. I'm sorry. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM. It's Friday Night Live. I'm your friend, the man with the God-given golden voice, Ted Williams, and I'm with my guest here, who has been through a hell of an ordeal for the past 20 years, Orlando Carter, out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Is your company... backing you 100% that you're the CEO of? I mean, do you have the full fund? Because it takes money to go to court. Now, that I do know. And or to put things into court, into motion. Are you got the backing of your company?
Hell yeah, I've got the backing.
Well, where we are right now is still in the development stage, beginning to try to move some of the... We have a warehouse set up, and we're looking forward to beginning to bring product in there to ship to Intel.
Okay.
And Intel's contractors. We've also developed another technology that we believe not only Intel but other Fortune 500 companies will benefit from. So while I was in prison, I just didn't go in there to lay down. I worked on technologies, you know, without trying to toot my horn, but I've helped people get GEDs. Okay. I taught inside of prison. I'm a musician. I led our music services inside of prison.
Orlando Carter. I could see me on the airwaves going, hey, here's Orlando Carter's number one hit, you know, that kind of thing.
So we tried to be productive, and now we're in a position where we can begin to deploy some of these technologies. We just need for PNC Bank and Clark Schaefer Hackett, if you're listening tonight, I'm asking you to stop your false claim against my business. Yeah. It's very simple. Admit that my business never had these loans that you testified to under oath.
Yeah.
Or produce the records that support your testimony.
So that you can continue to create jobs and make bids for places for people like Intel and all those other acquisitions that are coming your way. You know, you're not going to stop, I'm sure. My phone needs... No, I just teased him.
Yeah.
He's like, I said fiber optics. I ain't say nothing about your damn phone. But you got any more? Scotty, come on.
Well, and I just think it's very interesting because when we look at this whole story, I think everybody out there is saying, in the United States of America, somebody can't go to prison falsely accused. I think that's a common thought, you know. When we say death penalty, and we say we're for that, and we say the justice system works, what do you say to those people?
I say I was one of them before all this happened. I thought the same thing until it happens. And until you experience it, you won't believe that it truly happens. Until you go inside of the prison and see people in there who have been falsely accused, you wouldn't believe it happened. I was an individual who grew up on a farm, you know, hard work, 4 o'clock in the morning, feeding things. That was my life. Put myself through college, 2 engineering degrees, graduate degrees from MBA, from Duke University. I did all this on my own. Why would I want to then go and steal, or as they say, commit a fraud against a bank? In fact, because of the growth of my company at that time, I was turning banks down. I was not looking for any capital. We had just gotten approval from the Ohio Public Utilities Commission to start a telephone company. I was about to begin, I was be one of the first minority-owned companies that could compete head-to-head with AT&T, Verizon, Cincinnati Bell, T-Mobile.
Yeah.
I had gone through all of that and had gotten the approval. And just a few...
From the
Ohio Public Utilities, correct. And just a few weeks later... Just a few weeks later is when I was falsely accused of having these loans.
Wow. Please excuse me. Yeah, you know, things do happen, and for what circumstances lead it to that, you know, we can only say hats off to you, man, to have still going through these things. And we look forward to the community support. We're not talking about financial support, but if you want to help the man, sure. But we're talking about bureaucratic support. We need all the politicians or someone out there that can open the door to prove that this man has been falsely accused of monies that he never received and was in prison for.
How money was the company worth before?
The
net worth.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. We had offers at the time that came in that valued my company at $150 million. Mm. This was in 2005. And so we all know one of the reasons PNC Bank is fighting as hard as they are in a federal court is because they know they have severe damages, that they have costs. Not to mention me being locked away for years away from my family, but their false claims cost 60 jobs in the community. 60 jobs, most of them engineers, that lost their jobs over this fake claim.
That make over $250,000 a year. Let me say this. They're not only wouldn't be liable, they'd be liable for all the losses your business has done, all of the time that you spent in prison away from your family and from helping the company continue its growth. $150 million ain't no joke, man. You're in Forbes at $150 million. We've got 1 minute to go. And Scotty, again, I thank you so much. Sean, you demand. You the man. And Orlando, you are truly... I want to take some calls right now. Please give the phone number.
Yeah, 740-383-9944. And we're going to continue the discussion.
Yeah.
We're going to take a 15-minute break.
Yeah.
And then Ted and Orlando are going to join Sean and I, and we're going to open up all the microphones and all the telephones.
Yeah.
We're going to,
and we've even got our guest audience.
We're going to throw it around here in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. But what a fascinating...
I know what I was going to say is I'm even going to try to drum up the support. My friend Cooper, Coop, we call him, but he had just talked to the chief of police in Detroit, Michigan, and we're going to see if we can get some equal opportunity or what you would call a... what is it? I'm getting lost for words. Hey, I want to say one thing on this off the side. Excuse me. I want to say those people that commented trying to tell me what that name was. Damn it, I forgot what the topic was. But yeah, they commented all over the place.
Do your wrap up, Ted, on this one.
Hey, that's going to do it for this edition of our service mission tour. We'll return to Burn here in a little while. Brother, man, sister, too, if you can, be nice to someone short. You never know when someone short has to be nice to you. We're going to take two steps to rear, get out of here, but we'll be right back with your calls. What's the number, Scotty?
740-383-9944.
That's it. 740-383-9944. We're going to take some calls, and we're going to see if we got some community leaders out there right now that's listening to WWGH 107.1 FM Friday Night Live with yours truly, the man with the God-given golden voice, and Orlando Carter.
When you were on, I made sure to tape it.
Well, isn't that something? Where are you from originally?
I'm right here in Ohio.
Where? I mean, you weren't born where you're working now, or were you?
Do you work for the Internal Revenue Service or something?
I refuse to answer on the grounds.
Yes, I was born right here, Charlie.